Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Good evening, Trinity Church. Now, my family will tell you that I am an unpleasant television companion. But I'll confess that they're right. I mean, I just don't enjoy absent-mindedly flipping channels. Now, if I'm going to watch TV, I prefer to have a plan. You know, at this time, I'm going to watch the evening news, and on this Saturday afternoon, I'm going to watch the Red Sox, and on this night, I'm going to watch that movie. And I prefer to watch all these programs from beginning to end. I mean, the idea of starting a film in the middle offends me. And this pandemic season has only aggravated my television smuggery, both because the demand for our one DirecTV screen has substantially increased in this house, and because I'm finding new annoyances with the commercials and the shows that we watch. I mean, who do these people on the screen think that they are? Just walking into a bar, having a drink like it's okay to sit next to a stranger, to have some other person you don't know touch your glass and pour your drink. You gotta be careful out there. And look at this one, so blithely boarding a plane. Of course, her flight, it's fully funded by her credit card miles, but she's got no care in the world, no gloves on her hands, no mask on her face. Lady from Alias, who used to be married to Ben Affleck, you shouldn't be shilling for Capital One. You should be thanking your lucky stars that you can travel by air. You don't know how good you've got it. And then as I swelled with indignation, really grieving, what I did not fully appreciate of my own life in that not so long ago season before these days, then the caprice of an evening's channel surfing brought me the documentary My Flesh and Blood. My Flesh and Blood. The 2003 film presents the real-life story of the Toms, a family of 13 children, and their mother, Susan Tom. The 11 youngest children are adopted, and 10 of the 11 all suffer with serious physical challenges and diseases. Two of the teenage girls, Hannah and Xenia, are born without legs. Another, Chloe, cannot bend her knees or her elbows. A 15-year-old boy, Joe, suffers from cystic fibrosis, and Faith, now a second grader, suffered third-degree burns over her head and her torso as a three-month-old in her crib. Margaret, who is recently enrolled in the local community college, suffers from epilepsy and overcame brain surgery as an infant. She works with her mother to keep their fragile family's ship afloat. And I watch these Toms host a Halloween party in their backyard. Joe plays a mad magician who saws in half one of the legless girls, and so on her hands, she jumps from the box and runs away screaming, all to the delight of this unconventional family. I watch the children swim, visit trapeze artists' gymnasium, and make frequent trips to the hospital. I watched them at school and heard with them the predictable and painful barbs issued by their adolescent classmates. And I watched them eat together, gathering around a series of card tables set one beside the other to form a single long supper table without even a matching chair. The image was wild and beautiful and overwhelming, this sprawling family in their own upper room, human frailty on their sleeves and on their face, and indeed in their very skin. In the film, the mother of this lot, Miss Susan Tom, does not come across as either perfect or saintly. She doesn't take very good care of herself. She neither keeps nor seeks paid employment. After the last child is put to bed, the cameras will catch her taking a deep breath of relief before she cruises internet chat rooms. And the younger of Miss Tom's two birth children, now grown, does not hide his disappointment in his divorced mother's diverted attention and the enormous responsibilities her decisions have made him to bear. Perhaps fueled by his frustration then, I caught myself wondering what dark piece of herself Miss Tom sought to absolve by bringing all these children into her home. Now, I wondered if she might not be playing the system somehow. I wondered if some of the children could not help but be neglected, just given the sheer number of bodies and the scope of need under her roof. And readying to profess my self-righteous indignation at the screen to tell her the real score, I then watched Susan Tom pick up her 19-year-old adopted son, Anthony, from his wheelchair. Anthony suffers from a form of epidermolysis bullosa, EB, the disease affecting the enzymes that bind the skin to the soft tissue beneath. His body does not produce enough of this material, and as a result, his skin just falls off in sheets, in pieces big and small. The rare disease is chronic, incurable, and inevitably fatal from the legion infections it invites. 4 times every week, Susan Tom will lift this small man from his wheelchair and set him in a special bathtub. There, she will carefully undress him, unwrap the many bandages from his impossibly many open wounds, and then gently wash him with a light solution of bleach and water. Anthony will cry quietly as his mother washes him. Including the time for rebandaging, this process will take over 3 hours. And when the filmmakers ask her, how can she do this, all of this, week in and week out, she says plainly, as though her reasoning would be as obvious to anyone as it is to her, how can I not? They are my flesh and blood. How can I not? They are my flesh and my blood. My whole life, from south to north, I've heard the laments about the absence of clean television, of good clean music, and understand what that means. You know, some of us could do without the violence and the profanity and the explicit material of most media programming, and that's fine. What's not fine is that too much of this clean programming, so-called, washes away the truth of our lives, along with the four-letter words in the shower scenes, leaving behind only perfect people. The successful husband, the dutiful wife, the loving, healthy children. These perfect people, they drive new cars, they live in gardened homes and in comfortable neighborhoods. And after a while, these good, clean stories, they become for us the image of normalcy and even the edgeless voice of a moral Christ. We forget the dirty, complicated, imperfect, unwieldy truth of our own lives until we get laid off, until we or someone we love gets sick, really sick, until all of us face a pandemic, until we confront our own unavoidable, irrefutable vulnerabilities. We can more easily ignore others' suffering. We can more easily ignore our own frailties. So much so that when a person like Susan Tom assumes a vocation that we would never accept, our first inclinations about her are of suspicion. So much so that we no longer believe, even we as Christians, we no longer believe we have need of this peasant servant Jesus, that one who takes and ties and washes and wipes his disciples' feet. We prefer the Last Supper Jesus, that maitre d' Christ, the one who busses an orderly dinner table, well-planned with a decent menu and tidy place settings. The love of Susan Tom the filmmakers present is not clean. She makes mistakes. She could not negotiate every difficulty her family faced. She doubts, she cries, she gets angry. But Lord have mercy, her imperfect love was unrelenting. Manifest in this devotion, I can scarcely imagine and witnessed in her haunting, damning, inspiring words. How can I not? They are my flesh and blood. On Maundy Thursday, we receive a command, a mandate from the servant of all, that we would not only share a common table, but that we would share a common devotion to wash, that ourselves and one another, that we would be washed and that we would wash. Now, I realize that tonight is not the good, clean worship to which we are accustomed on this occasion. Oddly, in this moment, the idea of washing one another's feet in those prepared basins on our church home's broad step there on Copley Square, that feels achingly normal. Now, tonight, God asks us to make new room in our hearts and at our sinks. They're reminded by Christ's loving model that we would keep ourselves and one another safe by washing. Tonight and in these strange distancing days, God asks that we would love one another. As Jesus has loved us, so should we love one another, that we would become as intimate as family, as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, that we would treat one another as nothing less than our very flesh and blood. But tonight we would love so well. I pray in the name of our loving Christ. Amen.